Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. This week, we have shifted our focus to anxiety. We are shifting our focus to anxiety. We will be shifting our focus to anxiety. One of those.
All of the above.
So a couple weeks ago, we focused on depression.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we talked a lot about autism spectrum disorders, mm-hmm. and this week, we're going to focus a bit on anxiety.
Yeah. Interestingly,
yes.
As we were planning this and I started to open up, all of a sudden it pops up. There's an article reported yesterday, in I think USA Today, that anxiety is on the rise,
yeah,
as it turns out. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I wasn't aware of that. But the American Psychiatric Association did a recent study, a small study, mm-hmm. and found that rates are increasing.
Right.
And the thing that people are most concerned about is paying their bills.
Right.
They're becoming anxious about paying their bills.
Right.
And that there's, I think, millennials are the most concerned group. That age mm-hmm. group is the most concerned
okay.
about being able to pay their bills.
All right.
So something is going on with anxiety. So I'm mm-hmm. glad we're going to be talking about it this week.
Yeah. So and what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, maybe even related to what you were just saying, we're going to kind of differentiate mm-hmm. and kind of divide up words a little bit here, because mm-hmm. it is important that we think about and we acknowledge the difference between stress, anxiety, or worrying,
right.
and anxiety disorders.
That's
those
right.
Are, those no, are it's, very three mm-hmm. very different things.
Right.
So we're going to talk about those today, and over the course of the week, we'll talk about some of that prevalence. Causes, right. So the prevalency rates, causes, treatments, mm-hmm. and all of that throughout right. the week.
Yep.
All
yeah,
right.
Good. Yeah, because the article today about it, when they talk about anxiety, I think that's maybe fall in the category of worry,
mm-hmm.
not, well, we'll get into
we'll
that.
Get into that.
But I think it's helpful that we begin by parsing stress versus anxiety versus anxiety disorders.
Right.
Excellent place to start.
And I think that we have to differentiate this, because many people, many writers, I'm going to say many professionals, almost use these words synonymously.
That's right.
And they're not. And we have to acknowledge that up front, that stress is not the same thing as anxiety. Stress and anxiety are two different things.
Right.
They are related, and yes, there is an overlap, but they are not the same thing.
Well, in common parlance, we say, I'm really stressed today.
Right.
Which means, or you might say, I'm really anxious today.
Right.
I'm stressed about this, I'm anxious about this. And we tend in everyday speech to use the terms synonymously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, there are important distinctions between right. the two when you're in a more clinical mode right. or clinical setting.
Right. Mm-hmm. So stress, we'll start there. Stress is biology. Stress is a biological
easiest way to remember
mechanism.
Right.
If you twist your knee, you have stressed your knee.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about stress fractures. We talk about strains, which is basically the same thing as stress. In different joints, different physiological areas of our body. We talk about a stress response, that
right.
hypothalamic pituitary axis, which I love that whole axis. I'm not going to talk about it,
okay,
but
good.
The that is a automatic biological reaction to something in your environment,
and
what
in
we
fact,
call a stressor.
When Hans Selye first talked about this, when he stumbled on mm-hmm. this whole concept of animals in his laboratory, he used the term stress, and he borrowed it from engineers
mm-hmm.
who talk about the stress that a material can tolerate mm-hmm. before it breaks.
Right.
And so you have how much weight can a bridge hold? Right. How much weight can an arch hold? And so stress is those forces. And he talked about this stress as a biological response
right.
to something in your environment.
Right, absolutely. Right. So stress is biology, and it's, you know, it is a mechanism that happens, and it's related to some disorders. For example, right. a panic disorder. You know, the DSM-5 does not have panic disorders in the same classification, same category as anxiety disorders. They're two different groups. And so when we talk about panic attacks, you know, that is the stress response system gone awry. Mm-hmm. And that is a different kind of disorder, different kind of condition. But when we talk about stress, as you mm-hmm. said, sort of clinically, that is biology. Your stress system can be out of whack. Your stress mm-hmm. system can be hyper-responsive. Your stress response can be under-responsive. But it is a biological response.
And it's a response. You're reacting to something in your environment. And mm-hmm. I think that's the easiest way to differentiate.
Right.
You are reacting to something in your environment. That's right. That's how it was first used when mm-hmm. the term first developed. And I think it's an appropriate and useful distinction
right.
to say that this is a biological response, right. biological reaction to something in your environment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now the next term is anxiety.
Right.
And anxiety here is often the same thing as we're going to use the word anxiety here, but this is what many times people will use the word worry.
Right.
Worry is, and anxiety, the way that we refer to it sometimes, is a very normal thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a needed thing. It's an adaptive thing.
Right.
You know, there are times I'm doing an evaluation and I'll say, you know, do you get anxious about mm-hmm. anything, or do you worry about anything? And people will say yes, and I'll say, what do you worry about? And she goes, well, mm-hmm. I worry about, you know, my kids being safe, or I worry about the bills. Okay, I mean, that is a perfectly normal, healthy thing to be worried about. I mean,
that's
if
right.
we didn't worry about our kids, we probably wouldn't have kids, because they would have disappeared, or they would have, you know, they would have run off already. But so we worry about those things neededly. You know, we worry about our bills. If we didn't worry about our bills, we wouldn't pay our bills.
We're going to be doing some talks this summer, okay? Mm-hmm. And every time I think about the next talk coming up, I start to get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not stressed.
Right.
Okay. But I do get anxious, but it's that anxiety mm-hmm. that's going to motivate me to
right.
prepare adequately.
Right.
What am I anxious about? I'm anxious about not being prepared, mm-hmm. Disappointing the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are all, you become anxious about
right.
that. Okay. So that's the source of my anxiety. But that anxiety is what's going to motivate me to do an adequate preparation.
Right.
Get ready yeah. and do it right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms of anxiety, those symptoms that we're talking about, right. can include, you know, sort of increased or elevated heart rate. It can right. include increased respirations. You breathe a little bit faster, almost hyperventilate. Mm-hmm. You can get sweaty. You know, you feel a little bit confused. Sometimes when we're, if as that anxiety or worry increases, mm-hmm. you can start having difficulty concentrating and focusing. Maybe difficult to relax. You know, it's difficult to go to sleep sometimes mm-hmm. when you're worried about what you're supposed to do the next day.
Right.
So all of these things, you know, when it comes to the symptoms of anxiety, regardless of the cause,
right.
you know, regardless of why we're anxious or mm-hmm. why we're worrying, the
right.
symptoms are all the same.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
So whether you have a test and you're worried about that, or you have to go, you know, have some blood work done and you're nervous about that,
going to the dentist,
or you're going to the dentist,
right.
you're worried. The symptoms that you're going to mm-hmm. experience from that are all pretty much the same.
Right.
Okay. And oftentimes it leads to a drive for avoidance. You know, you find lots of reasons not to go.
That's right.
But you know, that is. Again, those are normal, healthy mm-hmm. worries,
right.
Because they motivate. Mm-hmm. They get you. You know, if you didn't worry about your end of year exam or your
right.
final exam, you wouldn't study and prepare for it. So you have to worry about it a little bit to motivate you to study and prepare.
Right. So in that regard, anxiety is an adaptive, mm-hmm. useful, normal part. Day in, day out existence.
Absolutely.
Don't need to worry about it. In fact, that's what keeps you motivated.
Right.
You have test anxiety because you want to do well. If you want to do well, you're going to prepare. You're
mm-hmm.
going to study.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're doing that you're feeling a little bit anxious about, it's because you want to get on with it and do it right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, people who get extensions on their income taxes,
mm-hmm.
you know, they say, well, I just need a couple of weeks. Well, then you get into July. And you're thinking, boy, I really have to. And your anxiety increases,
mm-hmm.
and your motivation increases.
Right.
Okay. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we teeter over into anxiety disorders,
right.
Now we're starting to talk about problems. All of the symptoms are the same. They may be increased in intensity or prevalence
right.
or duration, but all the symptoms are exactly the same.
Right. Same symptoms, just more intense.
Right.
Now I'm really, really getting anxious.
Right.
Now I have the IRS calling me. Now I'm really
right.
anxious.
Oftentimes, when we get into the realm of anxiety disorders, now we're talking about that same anxious response, but oftentimes in the absence of the immediate presence of a danger.
Right.
You know, the examples that you were just giving, okay, you know, if the IRS is calling you, you should be anxious.
That's right.
Right? But if you've already filed your income tax, if you've already taken care of all of that, and you're still completely anxious that, did I really submit them? Did I really turn them in? You know, what if they call me and I can't find this paperwork? Let me go check and make sure that paperwork is still there, make sure I still have it. Oh, yes, I checked yesterday and it was there yesterday, but let me go check again just in case. Now we're talking about an anxiety disorder because even in the absence of an immediate threat of any kind,
that's right.
you're still overtly anxious and to the point where it's interfering with your ability to function.
That's right. And we begin to nudge into impairment.
Right.
Okay. And that's the hallmark. That's always what differentiates worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about depression.
Right.
And we said, it's normal to have the blues, okay? It's everybody has ups and downs.
Right.
It's when you can't get out of bed.
Right.
Okay. So when your depression impairs you, and in this case, it's when your anxiety impairs you.
Mm-hmm.
And we see many people, unfortunately, who will say, I can't, I have to worry about this.
Right.
I have to do this.
Right.
At the expense of other normal life
right.
events.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So when you have symptoms of anxiety that's causing you to do things that prevent you from doing things you should be doing.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, some of the hallmarks are, you know, if you, let's say that you have a snake phobia, let's
mm-hmm.
say,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're really, really nervous and anxious about snakes. Now, you're probably going to make sure that you avoid places where there's snakes and those kinds of things. But if your snake phobia is such that if you're watching a program on TV
mm-hmm.
and there's a snake on the program and you have to mm-hmm. turn it off because your anxiety grows so much,
right.
there's no immediate threat there.
Right.
But you are clearly unable to, and you know, we're talking about a very specific functional area here, but you're not able to function and manage
right.
even seeing an image on a TV
mm-hmm.
of a snake, you know, you're getting into the area of a specific phobia.
Right. Yeah, if you're worried in the absence of a problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we talked about stress, where you have something in the environment,
mm-hmm.
and even anxiety, I have something coming up, so I'm
right.
you know, there's something real that I'm
mm-hmm.
facing, either a speech or a test or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that I'm reacting to. It's not dangerous,
mm-hmm.
but it's anxiety producing.
Right.
If none of that is happening,
yeah.
If I have checked the garage door twice,
yeah,
and it's been closed both times,
right,
chances are it's still closed.
Yeah.
But if I have to get out of bed.
Because 3 is the right number of times to check.
because I have to do it three times.
Or if, you know, one of the types of anxiety, and, you know, on Wednesday of this week, we're going to talk about different types, or Thursday of this week, we're going to talk about different types of anxiety disorders. One of the types that may initially feel as though it doesn't fit with this is separation anxiety.
Right.
Because, well, you know, the child is actually separated from the parent, and so they are in the face. But where that one comes into, you know, and does really actually nicely fit in within this model is the idea that whenever I have a kid that I'm working with separation anxiety, I will ask, has mom ever left you at school? Like this thing that you're worried about, that mom isn't going to come back, the anxiety that you're going to be left and no one is going to take care of you. Has that ever happened? And they almost always say no. So again, there's an anxiety about that, you know, without the immediate presence of the real threat. I mean, the likelihood of mom forgetting you or leaving you is zero because she never has, and she says that she's going to be there to pick you up, and she's always done what she says she's going to do. Now, if the child says yes and says, actually, last week, mom forgot me, and I was at school by myself until, you
know,
7 o'clock. Until 7 o'clock, and then the police officer came by and had to take me home, I wouldn't even call that separation anxiety. That's almost a trauma.
That's a real fear.
Right. Because it's a real...
Something really did happen.
Right. Yeah. So, it, you know, in that case, that would be no different to me than a person who's fearful of snakes, but has to check the cabinets because, in fact, one day they were putting something in the cabinets and there was a snake there. Well, of course you're going to check now, and you're going to be very anxious about there possibly being one because it has happened.
We had a snake in our mailbox.
You did?
So, yes. It was in the back of our mailbox. My daughter loved it. She thought it was so cool. But there was this little snake in the back of the mailbox. So, of course, my wife wouldn't go anywhere near the mailbox. She wouldn't go to that side of the house.
Wait a minute. Your daughter thought it was very cool that there was a snake in the mailbox, but if there was a frog in there, she would have died.
She wouldn't have gone. She wouldn't have approached it. Right.
Snakes are okay.
Frogs. I had separation anxiety.
Because they're
Separation anxiety when I was little.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that until we were doing this program. It was completely irrational. My parents never left me anywhere, but I was convinced... for some reason, it was so irrational, now that I think about it.
That's interesting.
Right. I just, they couldn't leave me anywhere. I mean, they would say, well, we'll pick you up at 7 o'clock, you know. And I would be near panic because I'm thinking, what if they don't show up?
That's interesting.
They never left me anywhere.
Yeah.
But I was, I didn't have any trouble going to school. I mean, it wasn't that kind of separation. But if I was anywhere else and they said... You know, we'll, you know, you go there after school, and then we'll pick you up at 4 o'clock.
Man, that was tough.
It was really crazy.
That's interesting.
And I would tell myself, well, you know, they're going to come, but I didn't believe it.
Interesting.
I did, yeah. I was about 22 before I got.
I was going to say. I was trying to think of a way to introduce the college that it was.
No, I was
in graduate school.
I was able to go to college, but that first night was a tough night.
When mom dropped me off at college the first
time. And I watched them drive down the driveway. I was standing up in the street, and I saw them drive away, and I thought, whoa, no way.
Are they going to come back in 6 months?
They're probably never going to turn. I'll never see them again.
No, but it is irrational. And many times people, you know, as they get older, at, you know, and can look back at it, they'll say, yeah, it is irrational. Even when they're still experiencing it, they'll say that it's irrational.
It's easy for me to say that now, but I can remember the fear. I can remember the dread that I felt, and I'm thinking, that's what these kids are feeling. And I knew it was irrational, but I couldn't get rid of the feeling.
It's the, what it is, I think, is intellectually... You know that they're going to come and pick you up. Emotionally, that sort of that stress response again,
some kind of disconnect.
That gets triggered because it's the perceived threat, even though there is no threat there. So it's fascinating. But we're going to talk more about that stuff as the week goes because
whole issue of anxiety is really and you have to feel for people. You have to have sympathy for people who have anxiety because they can't control it. we want them to learn how to. And there's a wonderful article by the editor of the Atlantic Magazine. He never did get rid of his.
Right.
He was in treatment for years and years and years in the best right. treatment centers in the country. Cannot get rid of his anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll talk more about prevalence and those kinds of things tomorrow as far as, you know, because prevalence, when it comes to prevalence of anxiety disorders, mm-hmm. you know, anxiety is present everywhere. You know, we are at risk for it mm. all the time. You know, if something negative happens somewhere, if you're at the grocery store, mm. something negative happens, the next time you go to the grocery store, your anxiety is going to be up. Now, it may not be an anxiety disorder, but you may experience those anxiety symptoms. So,
if you live in Hawaii, your anxiety is going up because they're talking about that volcano shooting boulders out of the ground the size mm-hmm. of a bus. Imagine.
That's interesting.
It's absolutely fascinating that...
But it's only fascinating because we live in Florida.
Because we're here. Like hurricanes are fascinating unless they go over your house.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's there's reason to be stressed. There's right. reason, there's cause. But mm-hmm. With the other anxieties, it's I guess we should mention the term irrational,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So not only is it debilitating, but it's irrational.
Right.
My daughter's fear of frogs is totally irrational. Mm-hmm. The frogs aren't going to hurt you.
Right.
I guess there's a Cuban tree frog.
Oh, they're horrible.
Well, they can't kill us, could they?
No, but one time I saw one. You guys will like this. One time I saw one out outside on the wall, mm-hmm. and I went and looked at it. And, you know, they can be
fairly
like
big,
2 or 3 inches long.
Right.
And he like turned his head and looked at me.
Oh, he was waiting for
me. And
you.
Then I was like, "What's up, dude?" And he goes. Like made this strange noise.
And you?
Yeah.
Like, did he really?
I got out of there. I was like, man, you're freaking me out, man.
It was. I went in the kitchen. I'm telling you, my daughters have an absolute. I don't know what would happen to them if a frog ever landed on them.
Oh my gosh.
Like landed on their head or on their arm or something.
Yeah.
Because what they'll do is we have them around the front of our house. They come out at night
mm-hmm.
and they sit on the ledge
yeah.
in the day. You can see them up there in the daytime. And. Pardon me for this story, but my daughters will open the screen door and then run in the house because they have to get, it's like running the gauntlet. And I'll get up in the morning and the screen door will still be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the large door will be shut, but the screen door, because they aren't going to take any chance to reach their arm out there and close the door because there might be a frog.
That's
but
awesome.
It's irrational.
Right.
And I've tried to talk to them mm-hmm. about, honey, we can deal with this. You know,
mm-hmm.
we can... There's things I can do. They don't even want to talk about an intervention.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So. And we'll talk about that too when we talk about treatment, because believe it, you know, there's some anxiety disorders that we don't treat, because
and some that we can't treat.
Right. So, but that's for later this week.
Just
so.
Because, yeah, you can't always succeed.
Right.
With these disorders, some are intractable.
Exactly. So, all right, okay. That is it for today. And no more stories for today. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.